Good morning, my radio and television audience. The time is near. Repent and don't do it again. We've heard and been told for many years that the Bible tells us there will be wars and rumors of wars, and we are at war. This country, I'm confused on how many countries we have to be dealing with right now. I told y'all Trump was going to blow up something, and he's only touching the surface right now. I don't know what to say, other than I'd rather for them to be fighting over there than some missiles coming over here. And hopefully Trump will be able to keep that deterrence up to keep people from even thinking about piercing these lands. In the meantime, he's going to have to get those people out of here and learn who to identify they are that need to be sent back to their own country, or whatever. Anyway, I explained to you that the Lord gave me an assignment to teach his laws, to prepare you for the court of divine judgment. Last week, I read several verses out of the Bible. I'm going to read verses today that I want you to pay very special attention to. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, last week, I read only verse 12. I'm going to read 11 through 17 so you will be able to understand even some of the teachings I gave you last week. Keep in mind, everyone, you can go back. They put this information live, on the BBS radio webpage. Go to SBFM radio, which comes on Saturday at 10 a.m. on Channel 1. If you go to SBFM radio, you'll see there are archives there of all the shows for the past year, because I've been on radio for approximately a year now. You'll see, you'll be able to hear this teachings as well. But anyway, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles means schemes, trickery, deceits of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparations of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Those darts, same as arrows. And take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I wanted to read those because I read 12 last week, but I wanted to read all of these so you can understand about clean and unclean spirits. And I talked about a number of things last week pertaining to clean and unclean spirits. The main thing you have to remember, if you're having an evil thought, it's because an unclean spirit gave you that thought. The same thing applies to holy thoughts. A clean spirit gave you that holy thought. Keep in mind, you will have unclean and clean spirits around you at all times, feeding information or trying to get information into your head. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And somehow many of us have a tendency to hear unclean spirits better or louder or whatever than clean spirits. So we end up doing evil. Your thoughts dictate your actions. I'm going to be teaching God's laws slightly different, the Ten Commandments slightly different than you have been taught. The Lord led me to start with the Tenth Commandment. And now I'm understanding why. Because the Tenth Commandment deals with your thoughts and emotions. If you think about breaking one of God's laws, you have sinned. You're not supposed to have thoughts on sin. As I said, your thoughts dictate your actions. I will be teaching God's laws literally. I may use some allegoric or metaphoric or parabolic examples, but I will be teaching the law literally. So when I'm giving you various laws, it's not a metaphor, and I'll let you know ahead of time that I'm not being allegoric or allegorically involved into that part of it. Although, in times I may have to use some type of example where you would understand it could be metaphoric or allegoric or diabolical, I don't know. The Lord will lead me that way. But in the meantime, I will be teaching God's laws literally. And all of the laws that are of sound doctrine today. You, when I give you this information, you decide if it's sound doctrine to you. I may talk about some doctrines that are unsound. You have to keep in mind, even in the Bible, you'll be able to separate when man began to make his own laws up until the point like right now, there are so many man-made laws that are in total violation of God's law. That's how man has screwed up the legal system. And that's why we're having so many problems today. So what I want to do is teach you God's laws. Now you will find the main laws of God starting with Genesis through the book of Deuteronomy. You will find a lot of laws and precepts and ordinances that are acceptable to God. So what I'll be doing is teaching the Ten Commandments in a different way. And trying to teach you how to recognize a precept that's beneath a commandment. I'll give you a few examples today. And I'll have to continue on giving you examples. But what we're going to do right now is maybe I should tell you this first. I'm going to teach you the Ten Commandments, but I probably need to give you this information first. If you break any commandment, number 4 through 10, you automatically break 1, 2, and 3. If you break a precept beneath a commandment, you break that commandment. And when you break one commandment, you have broken them all. Now, the Bible tells you this, and I'm going to try to give you an example. And this is a repeat for some television people. But my radio audience never got this. So what I'm going to do. Oh, a precept, by the way, is a law or a commandment. Okay. Scholars are saying there are 603 precepts, I believe, but I believe there's a lot more than that. I found a few that have not been listed among the 603 on the internet. There are some people that went through and counted them. Just keep in mind, the book of Leviticus, chapters 1 through 7, pretty much, are laws that have been abolished on the cross. Leviticus was the book that most parents during biblical days that they started teaching their children on, because it dealt with the blood sacrifices and covering your sin. Well, no blood sacrifices anymore, not under God. So they're doing it for somebody else if they are. But anyway, the laws are contained from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Now, some people don't believe in the Deuteronomistic code that was supposedly to be the constitution of all people, which was not accepted by all people. But the book of Deuteronomy, the basis of that, has been included in the Bible. And you have a lot of God's laws there. Now, what I'd like to do is start off, I'm going to read the Ten Commandments to you. So for those of you that have heard of the Ten Commandments, but you're unable to name them and number them all, you will find the Ten Commandments first mentioned in Exodus 20, I believe that is. Yes, Exodus 20. And it starts Well, you should read all of 20. Because even the first couple of verses were important. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read those as well. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. In this Bible, they translate Lord to Yahweh, YHVH. There were no vowels, I'll say, back in the day. So that's why it would just be YHVH, but don't worry about that. That was number one, is thou shall not have no other gods before thee. Thou shalt not make any graven images of any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity, Cheryl, of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sabbath basically means rest. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Number 5, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, that's number 6. Thou shalt not commit adultery, that's number 7. Thou shalt not steal, that's number 8. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, that's number 9. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. These are the words of God. And that's them in the book of Exodus. Now, the Ten Commandments. Now, that is Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments was restated again in Deuteronomy 5. And what I'm going to do is read 1 through 10 for you. And basically what I want you to see, what the differences are in the two. Okay, starting with chapter 5, we're going to deal with verse 7 and wherever it ends with the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any engraven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Guiltless means, in this incident, innocent. Well, actually the opposite. I'm not going to get into, there were very few words during that time, and sometimes the word may mean six different things, starting with one and then ending with one that seems to be the opposite of the first one, because they didn't have that many words during that time. But any case, listen to this and understand it literally. Okay, I'll say number 10 again. And shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of in vain. And that's where I had left off before I started talking about what that commandment was about. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, for the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It is, thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant. Okay, Mary, I'll be with you in a minute. Nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember, thou was a servant in the land of Egypt. Okay. Basically, what I wanted you to get out of this is the difference between the coveting commandment. All of the rest of them are pretty much the same except the coveting commandment, which is the 10th commandment. Right after it's saying, do not bear false witness against thy neighbor, that's number 9, it says, neither shall thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shall thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Covet means desire, and the reason why I wanted to show you the difference between both of the tens, the one in Exodus Commandment 10 and the one in Deuteronomy Commandment 10, they place the female in a higher position in Deuteronomy, and this is one of the reasons why a lot of people don't want to talk about the Deuteronomistic code. At first, the house was before the wife. The wife is first here. And I'll have to teach more on that when I get to that commandment again. Hello, Mary.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Oh, kind of taking it easy, you know. I've been listening to you about the Bible, and you kind of know what I think about the Bible. But before I get to that, I'd like to talk about the Georgia cops that man had his hands up, black man. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the white Georgia cop just knocks him in the face. And then next thing you know, he's on the ground, and the white Georgia cop just kicks him and things like that. Now, these two have been fired already. There is some justice somewhere. But my point is, what will these two do next time they see black people? You know, I want them brought to justice in more ways than one. I want them in jail. I want them in prison. Because I am really worried about these cops that get fired behind black people. What are they going to do? Are they going to secretly go out and kill somebody? I am really worried about that kind of stuff. Because I think that, you know, the powers that be, I think they like crime. I'm going to put it where I'm going to put it right there at their feet. You know, and I'm sick of the drug dealers. I'm sick of corruption in our governments and stuff like that, you know. So we can have more police and we can have a police state. All this craziness that's going on, you know. Now, what do you say about that, Miss Dockery?
What I'm saying is that you're going to find good and evil all over this world. And as well as you're going to have to be able to identify it. Right now, this world is just a bunch of hate. Everybody hates everybody. And that's coming from unclean spirits. And if people don't
understand, I don't hate you, but I can tell you one thing. I can hate what you do. You know.
That's true, and that's how basically it's supposed to be. When Jesus said you're supposed to love your enemy as well as those, your loved ones or whatever, he was basically saying that you're not going to break any of God's laws against that person. The only way you're going to show love to a person is by obeying God's laws pertaining to people. And right now, people all over this world are violating God's laws. They're written there. but nobody really want to talk about God's laws and how man-made laws have corrupted this world.
Okay, you can say that. You can say that, but sometimes that comes from within the church itself. You know?
This is true.
I mean, Satan comes into the church, and he sits there, and he continues to sit there. You know?
That's what he's supposed to do if we let him in. You have unclean people that are going to church every Sunday and have unclean people calling them off.
Hello? Hello?
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge, bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.
I'm glad you're still on the phone, Mary. Now, where are we?
Well, this time, Lord. The devil came in.
You're right. That's how it works, you know. Unseen spirits will manipulate things, you know.
Okay, let's get to the Lord's Prayer, and I want to hear from you on this.
Mm-hmm.
It says, lead me not into temptation. Well, what in the world is God leading you into temptation? I don't understand that.
Okay, first of all, the Lord's Prayer is exactly that. It's the Lord's Prayer. You use that as an example. You should not use it as a real prayer for you, because because it says, lead us not into temptation. Jesus already took care of all that stuff.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Evil. He's already given us the power to get rid of evil spirits. So, unless you know you have some evil spirits in you and you need it to be delivered from you, then you can do that.
Oh, I ain't going to tell you that.
Jesus has already prepared that for us.
I'm not going to tell you about my evil spirits. I mean, I keep praying to God to get rid of them. I know I have demons.
Sometimes
God can be slow.
Now and then.
Huh?
Have evil thoughts every now and then, people. And that's the reason why the Bible tells you you must concentrate on God and our Lord so you won't have those evil thoughts.
I understand that. But when it comes to the Bible, it's been written, rewritten, rewritten, and rewritten. And there's a lot of Dead Sea Scrolls that they didn't put into the Bible. So how do we know the truth? I want to know the truth.
All you have to do is go and get the Dead Sea
Scrolls.
It's not like it's not written. I have the Dead Sea Scrolls. I understand why they're not in there. It's just going to be repeating some of the stuff that's already in
here. Yeah, but they say some of the stuff they were scared to tell the people. And I don't believe in that. I want to know about all of it. And the Jews and the Catholics.
And you have all of it. It has all been translated. But it can't be in the Bible. If they put all that in the Bible, you wouldn't be able to carry a Bible around with you.
I don't agree with that.
And the Bible is for your individual salvation. You,
yeah,
nobody
but I
want to
know everything. That before Eve, there was another woman.
And
this
all
is
you
the,
do
and the Jewish and the Hebrew Bible.
You ask for it. It's out there. Okay,
you can ask for it.
I have the Dead Sea Scrolls. I have the Nag Hammadi Library. I have all of that stuff. The Matsura. I have all of that stuff. Which
sound like a pasta. Anyway,
what's the Bible? Just keep in mind, Mary, you read the Bible for you only.
I understand
for
I
your
read the Bible
salvation.
For me, but I still
nobody
don't
else
know everything. There's still secrets out there. You know,
it's
I want to know everything.
Secrets, Mary, don't
so let
know
me
everything.
Be the, I have the
get
choice
salvation
as an individual.
Get
you know,
your
he gave us a choice.
Mary. That's what
he
you concentrate on.
It's not fair. I want these Catholics and these Jews to give it all up and stop holding
they've given it up.
You,
it's not in the Bible. You have to go to the other books, Mary. I told you I have
well,
them.
Well, I just said. I just, you know, I heard about there was a woman before Eve. And she didn't like Adam.
Well, there is writings pertaining to Lilith. That was her name, and she was supposed to be a demon. There are people that wrote that. All of that's available to you.
Like I
it's
said,
it's available to you.
Still
you make up
out there.
Your mind.
Still
it wasn't necessary to put in the Bible because it's not for your salvation. Read
well,
the stories in the Bible.
To you.
Understand the stories.
That's according
and
to you.
And speak. Huh?
I have a choice. I want to hear all of it. It's still a lot from gaming
your minister
to everything
not
else.
All of it.
They're not telling
your minister
the truth.
Is not going to teach all of it. That's
you know,
why you have to take it upon yourself for
if
your.
If I'm going to read about
knowledge.
King James, who was a pervert and a pedophile, please, I should be able to get the truth. That's all I got to say for the day. You take care of yourself now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, babe. And she has a point. King James was a killer. And that was one of the reasons why God gave him the inspiration to have the Bible translated. And he had 40, 50 translators to make sure that they were all saying the same thing. And if it didn't come out right, he'd chop your head off based on what they are translating. I think God did that because it was going to be as close as to the writing that it is the King James Version. That's the reason why most people use it. And in addition, the concordances, the main concordances that are used in this country are able to give you definitions of words in both Hebrew and Greek, and you can see the writing. If you go get your concordances, and they have a lot of them out there. I have several kind myself. But James Strong's exhaustive concordance. James Strong has a number of concordances. I bought a few of them. But you need a concordance so you can read the Hebrew and the Greek definitions of words. And in order for you really to understand the Bible. But anyway, I'm dealing with the Ten Commandments. Now, I just went through a little bit of Exodus and Deuteronomy on the Ten Commandments, but I wanted you to keep in mind what I first said. If you break commandments 4 through 10, you automatically break 1, 2, and 3. If you break a precept beneath a commandment, you break that commandment. And if you break a commandment, you have broken them all. I'm going to try to give you an example of that probably next week. But the time is near. I believe we're at the fifth trump. Now, that's my personal opinion. The sixth trump is when Satan is released to come down here and wreak havoc. The seventh trump is when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. And this is when he's getting ready to battle Satan and his army and send them to the lake of fire. Now, a lot of people, like I said, are dealing with rapture. When Satan is released, peace is going to come upon earth. And that's because Satan himself is going to stop doing things that are evil for a short period of time to make people think that he is actually our Lord Jesus Christ. He's trying to sit on the throne of our Lord Jesus Christ before our Lord Jesus Christ comes in 777 to fool as many people as he possibly can. And the Bible says that that's basically what he's going to do, is deceive thousands. And some of them are going to sin so much and not even think about repenting anything. And when you get to the court of divine judgment, all of that information are in the books, Satan's books and God's books, because you didn't repent a thing. And so my responsibility is to get you to repent, learn God's laws, precepts, ordinances, that are of sound doctrine today. And as I said, I'm going to be speaking literally. The commandments, 1 through 10, are clear. Very clear. Now, the 10th commandment is the commandment that the Lord told me to start teaching the Ten Commandments on, because the 10th commandment is the commandment where you first start thinking. If it's an evil thought, you're going to do and speak evil. If it's a holy thought, you're going to do and speak holy words. Your helmet of salvation cannot be pierced. If Satan is able to give you a thought, idea, or suggestion, close your eyes and ears and have you speak evil because you were thinking evil, you've lost your helmet. If you move toward the evil thoughts and speaking in any way, you're going to lose your entire armor. In order to get your armor back, you'll have to pray for it back. And if you're not sure which parts of the armor that you have and what it is for, go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and read, what was that, verses 11 through 17. And you know what your armor is. In your prayer, you have to pray that armor back on. Ask for your armor back. Ask God to give you that armor in the name of Jesus, and you'll get your armor back. Ask for peace by peace, the way it is written in the Bible. Now, a lot of people don't know that for certain, if you didn't have armor on at the time you became in the body of Christ, you were given armor then. You know, you baptized, and you were given armor then. And what you have to do is develop your faith. And without faith, you sure can't please him. So you have to develop your faith. There's a systematic thing to develop your faith so you won't lose your armor. You have to learn God's laws, which will assist in you developing your faith. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Now, I'm being led to say this or read this. Where's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22? It's a short verse, but I want you to read it and understand it. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. It didn't say abstain from evil, because they know you're supposed to do that. But it's from all appearance. That means that if you're feeling something that's not quite right here, it appears something is wrong with this, you abstain from it. Usually a clean spirit is trying to tell you something is not quite right. And sometimes we don't listen to the clean spirits and we end up doing what Satan wants us to do. Well, anyway, I'm not going to go to this book as yet, but Matthew chapter 24, I believe, yes, Matthew chapter 24, you will get the information about the trumps all the way through the seventh trump when our Lord Jesus Christ, they talk about the vials and the seals, as well as, where else? You can get it in Revelations, a lot of it in Revelations. See, you have to connect some of these books together in order to really understand the Bible. And a lot of people don't get that. My responsibility is law. Laws that you know you should not be doing. Let's see if I can give you another example of law that's beneath the 10th commandment. Okay, Jesus confirmed these commandments now in the New Testament. Okay, he confirmed all of them. And in his parables, beatitudes, and in his teachings, he confirmed many of the precepts that are still of sound doctrine then, okay? The reason why I want to deal it with sound doctrine today, for example, in the Bible, if women wore makeup and fancy clothes, jewelry and things like that, sometimes they were labeled prostitutes because that was a label of prostitutes to have a lot of makeup on and whatever so they could be recognized. That's not of sound doctrine today. Makeup is being worn by some of everybody, you know. So that's not of sound doctrine. Now, prostitution carries a death penalty. And yes, do prostitutes wear makeup? Yes, they do. And I don't know what to tell you other than you'll be able to tell who's a prostitute. Usually they out there. They let you know because they're trying to make money. It used to be terrible here in Oakland. They were walking all up and down the street, Telegraph, and Shattuck which has motels and stuff, you know, small motels and stuff, where they could do their work, they were walking all up and down the street. And the police had to stop all that and raid these hotels and motels and, you know, to get rid of them. You know, it got really bad for them. They had some with some signs out over there on MacArthur and Telegraph, where those motels are. Discount signs, by the way. I mean, what kind of mess is this? It became very competitive on Telegraph and Shattuck, down right here in North Oakland. So they wore makeup, but more often now, they don't have that many clothes on. See, it used to be in the Bible, they were clothes, and what they had on was not the materials and bangles and things that a God person would wear. So that's what they wore then. But today they're not wearing nothing. They're wearing see-through stuff, showing it all, walking up and down the street. And it's just pitiful, you know, and don't be in the area. I was going to, I love to go to Goodwill's, thrift shops, flea markets. I'm crazy about doing things like this. One day I decided to go to, which one is that over there on San Pablo and Grand? Is that St. Vincent de Paul? Or is that Salvation? That's St. Vincent de Paul, I think. Well, anyway, I had on some shorts. It was hot. It was the summer. And I was going somewhere, but then I saw the thrift shop. I said, I have a few minutes. I'll stop and see what they have in there. Before I can get out my car and walk to the thrift shop, I had, I don't know how many people, propositioning me, thought I was a prostitute because I had on them shorts. I became leery of wearing shorts for a long time on that. And, good God, now you can't wear shorts or else you're going to be a prostitute. And it wasn't none of them Daisy Duke type things either. You know, were they real short? No, that's not what I had on. But, you know, well, anyway, that's one of the examples I wanted to give you of sound doctrine. Just because people have on, you know, makeup, or they dress in a way that you think prostitutes dress, doesn't mean that's what they are, prostitutes, okay? You have to use sound doctrine here. And that's one of the examples. What was it? It was another way I wanted to give you an example of. I can't think of it right now, but let me see if I could find a precept beneath a commandment for, oh, I know one. Thou shalt not kill, which is the sixth commandment, does not necessarily carry a death penalty, but thou shalt not murder does. Murder means you plot, you know, sat and wait, and then you kill somebody. That's a precept beneath the thou shall not kill commandment. And there are a number of other precepts beneath the 10th commandment that I will be going through when I'm covering more of the 10th commandment. But I told you that the 10th commandment is the thought and emotion commandment. What were your thoughts? What were your emotions when you did what you did? sometimes you may have to work backwards in order to understand everything, and that's probably the reason why God had me start with the 10th commandment, because the 10th commandment is where you start with your thoughts. And then you open up your mouth is the 9th commandment in bearing false witness. Most people don't even understand what that means. It means that if you didn't witness it yourself, you shouldn't be talking about it. And if you did witness it yourself, the only person you are supposed to be talking to about it is the person that committed that sin. And you should supposed to show them the error of their ways. You're not supposed to be talking to anyone else about it. That's gossiping at the level of bearing false witness, because you did not witness it. And if you did not carry out step 2, then you're still bearing false witness because you're telling people and not the person that you're supposed to talk to about it. And that's the person that committed it. We have the 9th commandment and the 10th commandment just in motion consistently. People are always yabbing their mouths about something. Even all in the church, the Bible even tells you about the women in the church gossiping and things like that. It's always been in the church where Satan wanted to have some people. One of the reasons why ministers want to have a lot of people in the church, the more of them that are within the Holy Spirit in the church and bringing Holy Spirits with them, it's going to be hard for unclean spirits to take over the church, whoever body it's using, whoever spirit it's influenced. But as I said, people think that you have met your Sabbath if you go to church, praise and worship, ask for your sins to be forgiven for the past week if you can remember them. That's why I tell people to, as soon as you know you've done something wrong, go on and repent it. And paying your tithes. Those are the basic 4 things that people think they have to do in order to have met the criteria of Sabbath. But you can't sin. The devil is waiting for you right outside the door of the church, because he got ran out when he was hearing holy words and songs and things. But they're waiting for you right outside the church. So as soon as you get out the church, you're back there in the world doing worldly things if you do not control your thoughts. Your thoughts have to be under control. That's at the 10th commandment level, so you will not break any of the other commandments. You lose your helmet for certain when you started the 10th and 9th commandment. It's going to be very easy for the rest of your armor to be away from you. And because you allowed thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that were evil. Well, anyway, I'll continue with the laws next week. Give you a little bit of information more on the precepts, so you can put them all together for yourself. The Bible is for you, your salvation. You read it for yourself. And once you begin reading it for yourself, you'll be given your message. You'll come into the Spirit if you have pledged that our Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You believe in his conception, birth, death, resurrection, and ascension. Then you're in the body of Christ. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.